Some homeowners don't believe me. I've always said plumbers are the most underpaid tradesmen in the world. What you guys have to have on your trucks, and you have to be able to spot from across the counter, is it 1/8 or 3/16 ID or OD? You try a plumbing repair project on your own, you homeowners, what do? You end up spending 47 trips back and forth to the hardware store.
Or,
and then, because you just go to the, supply line rack, and you've got half and 3/8 and half and 5/8, and then you got different ones for the lavatory faucets from the toilets, and I mean it's just insane how complicated they've made plumbing. You need water pressure, you need the water supply above your head, and then everything else flows downhill. It shouldn't be as complicated as it is.
Rosie, I tell you though, being a plumber, I get confused when I go in the nail aisle and look at all the different types of nails.
Oh man, I was once doing repair at a crisis pregnancy center in the middle of nowhere. It was 38 miles to the nearest hardware store. And I learned a big lesson. This was about 20 years ago. I grabbed the supply line that I just assumed was the right one, and it was the last thing that needed to be done for this project to be done, and it was the wrong supply line. Turned around, I bought one of every supply line
back
on the rack, and then I went back. So I had 37 times 4. I mean, how many miles is that? Anyway, but that's plumbing to me. And then not only do you have to be an expert at spotting ID and OD and have, a million parts on your truck and gaskets and washers and cartridges, but you also have to be like a contortionist.
Yep.
Getting in there and putting the basin wrench underneath the faucet way in the back on a granite countertop that's leaking and it's got 47 things packed in there. I don't know.
The skinny plumber is a very valuable person.
Well, we've got a full line of callers waiting to talk to y'all. Let's see if we can go to Brandon. He's been holding the longest. We have Alice. We have Dennis. We have Ted. We have Kathy. We're going to get to all y'all real quick here. Brandon in Apache Junction, good morning. Thanks for calling. I have Chase Evans from Walker Plumbing and Chris Stanfield from Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. Let's see if we can't solve your plumbing dilemma.
Morning, gentlemen. I hope so.
Let us know what it is.
Okay. My place was built in the 50s. My water meter is well over 100 yards from the property line. It's actually my grandparents' old place that I'm purchasing.
Okay.
And I noticed years ago that the water line was not buried very deep. I do remember it, them trenching next to it and kicking it in the hole to take it down below the surface a little bit. But the water is very, very hot always. And so there's never any cold water. That would be one part, would be the depth. The other is, if I was to redo that, which I don't think it's ever been done in my lifetime, what material, especially with that distance, would be a suitable material to use, and what sort of shutoff valve before it enters the house? Because it is so far away, I'd like to be able to, if something goes on in the house, I don't want to have to run.
Great question.
Houses down.
Okay, so we're replacing the supply line to the house from the meter to the water manifold. Chris, talk him through it.
18 inches is code. We don't have to worry about frost out here, at least, but the deeper you get it, the cooler it will be. So if you want to go a little deeper, that certainly wouldn't hurt either, or insulating the pipe.
And electric is usually down at about at least 24, so don't go more than that.
Definitely you should have it blue staked. If you're doing this yourself, still call out, get blue stake, and make sure you're digging safely. We use almost exclusively copper for water mains, but I would have no problem with running PEX. It would probably save you a lot of money over the cost of the copper. And then the ball valve would be the type of valve we would recommend, and that's actually a code as well that you should have a shutoff going into the home there.
Very good. Chase?
And another benefit to using PEX, too, is what we like a lot, is less joints. You can buy them up to a 300-foot roll. So it'd be less joints along the way and always a ball valve.
And why less joints is important is the same reason we like to see few penetrations in the roof. every joint, every penetration is your weakest link.
Yep.
And a homeowner, where would he go to buy a 300 roll of PEX? You're not going to find that at the hardware stores, are you?
I believe Ferguson sells to the public.
Okay.
And a roll of PEX is easier to unroll than a roll of copper, too.
Yes, sir.
Okay. There you go. Well, Brandon, hope that helps. I'm confident that if they just scratched the surface and kicked the pipe down in and covered it and were buried 6 to 8 inches, that's the source of your hot water. You'll never get cool water. And I've actually known people that have repiped with PEX, can never get cool water, and they've actually added a second water heater to the house, and they never turn it on. And they plumb their cold water to that. So the hot water comes in, cools off in the water heater that's never turned on, so that once it's delivered to the faucets, it's a little bit cooler than it was coming through the attic.
Yeah, or some people just turn their water heater off.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the winter.
All right, let's see if we can go to Ted in Sun City, who has a question. Ted, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Rosie.
You bet. What's your plumbing?
Yeah, my question is, I did go to a hardware store, I don't remember for sure which one, maybe a couple, and all I saw on the toilet supply lines was plastic nuts.
Yeah.
So,
avoid them.
First of all, I'm curious about how that could even be, and secondly, yeah, where would I have to go to a bigger supply house maybe to find
it's it's insane. I mean, to get one with brass nuts on both sides is a dollar or a dollar and a half more. I mean, this is something you're putting in that's going to last 20 years.
Yeah, I don't know of a hardware store I could recommend necessarily to find one, but you should be able to find them at a plumbing wholesaler.
Plumbing wholesaler on the west side.
What's Van Sands called now? Like Van Curl?
Van Mark Trade?
Van Mark Trade. There is a Van Mark Trade on Grand Avenue just past the 101. As you're coming in, you'll be heading southeast. You'll pass the 101. You'll pass Todd Whitaker Drywall. You'll pass
Habitat's
Restore. Then you'll see the PPG Paint and the Van, what?
Van Mark Trade.
Van Mark Trade. They're in the same building together at the very end. Turn in right there, and you'll be able to get your brass.
So, Ted, that's at where?
Van Mark Trade.
And what was the cross street?
It's like 83rd Avenue and Grand.
Okay. There you go, Ted. That's where you'll want to go to pick up the professional-grade supply flexes with the brass nuts on both sides. Let's go to Kathy calling from Phoenix, and then we'll get to Dennis and Alice. Good morning, Kathy.
Hello. I'm from Cave Creek, actually.
Cave Creek, okay.
Yeah. I have a question. We're thinking of remodeling our house, and one of the things we're going to do is take down a wall and put in an island. However, we lose a vent, the plumbing vent. So our contractor has recommended, we're just in the planning stage right now, and our contractor has recommended putting in something called a Studer vent. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Okay, very good. Chase, you want to take that?
We use Studer vents a lot when it is a area where we can't run a vent through the roof. The nice thing about them is there's a little rubber diaphragm in it, and when air needs to go down for the drain to work properly, that opens up, but then when you're not using it, it seals it back up so you're not getting those sewer gases back into your home.
And you're having good luck with them.
They got a shelf life of about 5 to 8 years.
Good to know.
As long as you maintain them, you shouldn't have any issues.
Chris, they've been around forever, but they really haven't been generally accepted until recently.
Yeah, but I think they're accepted in almost every city in town now. And the only thing is you do have to put them in where they're accessible.
And an island application is your most common place you're going to put them in, right? Because you can't get a vent up through the thin air.
Correct. Yeah, I would just make sure it's going to be code for that city. But I think they are accepted now everywhere.
So there you go, Kathy. If you just plan on maintaining them every 5 to 7 years, I think they'll be fine. I haven't put one in ages.
Oh, but you did put one in.
I have put one in. It's been a long, long time ago. But again, they weren't generally acceptable for a long, long time. But now, virtually every city accepts
them. I think if you could vent it, that's always the best choice. But yes, if you can, or if for structural reasons or whatever, they're a good option.
Okay. Let's see if we can get the Dennis.
As we go through the calls and the lines, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we take a call. That opens the line to get in, and your best chance to get on 1-888-767-4348. Dennis and Tempe, you're up.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Let me introduce you to Chase Evans of Walker Plumbing and Chris Stanfield from Benjamin Franklin. Your hour with a plumber.
I have a comment, Rosie. 3 times minimum to the hardware store for plumbing parts.
Yeah, that's a if you get it done in 3 trips, you're a journeyman plumber.
Or you end up like me, where you're an hour from a plumbing store, so you buy one of everything, and you've got all these parts you'll never need.
Yeah, thank goodness for cell phones and pictures.
Yes, that has helped a lot, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I have a question. I have a Toto toilet. It's in our place up in Pine Top.
Okay.
And the flapper valve, I replaced it, and the flapper valve drops after I flushed it. When the water drops about halfway in the tank, and it doesn't flush properly, why does it do that?
Okay, the flapper valve is closing before the tank is empty.
Is it the original flapper that came with the toilet, or did you replace it?
I replaced it with a Toto.
So you did replace it with the exact same one, right?
Yes, exactly. And as the water drops about halfway in the tank, then it drops. It won't let the water go on down and flush properly.
Well, they are water-saving toilets, and so I don't know without seeing the toilet if that's supposed to be that way. Did you remember, like, before you replaced it, did you ever see how it operated before?
It operated fine.
Yeah. Chase, you got anything on that?
It sounds like it's a different type of, or it could be a Toto flapper, but it sounds like it's like a different type of flapper where it's like an adjustable flapper. But
it's not adjustable. There's no way to move it in and out. I thought maybe it hits, you know, the tube that sticks up. When the flapper comes up, it hits. There's a flange around the backside of it. It feels like if I could almost grind a little bit of that flange out and let that flapper come up higher.
These guys are both looking at each other, staring.
I think what Dennis is going to have to do
is take a picture.
I think what they're egging on, where is the home?
Pine Top.
Yeah. I think these guys are trying to lead you in an invitation for a road trip. Hey, yeah, we'll go come up for the weekend and look at that.
You know, the flapper is not very expensive at all, so if you did try to do something like that to get it to work better, grind off the part, it's not like you're grinding off something that's going to cost you a lot of money. I would certainly give that a chance if you think that's what's doing it. You know, without seeing it, it's really kind of hard to tell. But I can't imagine a manufacturer's part isn't the right one for that toilet.
Dennis, we appreciate the call. We've got Bill and Alice up next.